get things started, but please feel free to continue ordering stuff. Jake is loud, he can take it. Welcome to Claustrophobia 3. First we'll be hearing from Jake Tucker, and then we'll be hearing from Louise Brownell. And our next reading will be in early January, and we will be having Jesse Minkert and probably, most likely, Emily Kendall Frey come up from Portland. And more info on that at cozytownfrolics.wordpress.com as time goes on. Jake Tucker, ladies and gentlemen.
So, my name is Jake Tucker. I do some poems with my friend David Lodi here. And we have music and it's fun. So, big round balls. This one is called. Alright. Okay. It will be
I try not to delay the show.
Barbershop. In that sorrowful gloom and those harmonies, I'll wait for you. Until the Book of Common Prayer is rewritten to include the hokey pokey. Until sweatpants become formal wear. Until my stomach learns to speak to whales. I'll wait for you as long as the sun holds a grudge against Pluto. I'll wait for you as long as people on Uranus giggle when they say Mercury.
Because your eyes are big brown balls of sticky. Your eyes are big brown balls of sticky.
I'll take my dragon wings and pizza rolls out of the freezer and let them thaw. Sit myself down in front of the TV and put on some cartoons. I would like to eat pizza rolls and watch The Simpsons with you until they cease to be funny. Until Krusty the Clown telling John Updike to shut up. Stops making me chuckle. Until Lenny and Carl go their separate ways. Which is to say, I would like to eat pizza rolls and watch The Simpsons with you forever. Next one, I also wrote all of it, so yes.
Yeah. Are we changing the plan? Okay.
And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were fell down, bound into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Games decided by last second touchdowns make for good TV, but are hard on my heart. As if inescapable flames were romantic ideals. They are constantly about to break up or get engaged, with wild swings between the two poles. Even if the story ends at an altar, it'll be hard to convince me that it was a happy one.
The taste of love is sweet, with hearts like ours beat. I fell for you like a child.
Every Thanksgiving, people destroy their houses because of unfortunate mistakes while deep frying their turkeys. I love fried food, but I prefer to leave it to the professionals at McDonald's or KFC because grease that hot makes me nervous. I used to clean those things when I worked at a cafeteria. I know what grease heated to several 100 degrees feels like against bare skin. I prefer to cook with crock pots set on low for 12 hours until the flavors are mingled. The vegetables are soft, the meat is falling apart, all with a very low risk of getting burned. Wednesday, tomorrow, midway through her spring break. It's her second this year. It's one of a dozen in her life. It's not her knee, not her shoulder, not arthritis, it's her heart. She's a smile, and I wonder where she finds it.
Oh, keep smiling. Yeah, yeah. Oh, keep smiling. Yeah, yeah. Oh, keep smiling. Yeah, yeah.
Bright sun outside. The trees are busting with color. It smells nice. And the birds can't shut up. Girls walk by with a bounce in their step, dimples out in full effect. Everyone seems to be smiling everywhere I go. But I don't understand how I could smile. I don't understand how anyone can. When friends have to have heart surgeries twice a year, when everyone is lonely, when moms get cancer, when siblings die in car crashes, when kids in Africa are born with AIDS, when there are earthquakes, tsunamis, and nuclear meltdowns, when millions of people will never know anything besides poverty, I don't know how to smile. When the weight of all this hurt presses down, I feel the imbalance in my gut. I can't see the scales as being even. The cherry blossoms and sunshine can't outweigh cancer and poverty. I feel like if I were to smile, I would have to trick myself. And those few who smile honest, the ones who seem to come as close as humanly possible to being a good person, these people don't get a free pass. They seem to suffer more for their good hearts. When I see them smile with honesty in their eyes, I can't help but wonder if they're blind or dumb. I feel dumb when I smile, or at least I do today. But when I think of my friend going in for heart surgery, I hope she never feels dumb when she smiles.
Keep smiling.
This one is about Everett, which is where I was born, and I grew up on the outskirts of it. There used to be a douchey little club near the coffee arena, the Whammy Bar. The owner was a cousin of my friend Isaac. This was more than enough connection to get me to check it out. Isaac and I went on a weekday, paid full price, and played Pac-Man. The place filled up with 30-something women in short skirts and porn star heels, flirting with greasy-haired muscles in half-button dress shirts. We heard multiple Nelly songs. Isaac came close to his all-time high score more than once. We were on our last quarter when a couple of greasy-haired muscles started shouting. Pretty soon, the shouts turned to swings. Then the tussle spilled my beer. It's always the innocent that get hurt most in these types of situations. I think the bouncer sensed that a beverage was in danger because he came running. He parted the crowd like the Red Sea. The man had a face tattoo, which I assume meant he did not take shit. Most people tend to get out of the way of big men with face tattoos. He grabbed one guy by the collar and the other guy by the head and dragged them out of the bar. It's the little things that I miss most about my hometown. This one's about Vancouver. I live in Vancouver, British Columbia. This is called Good Morning Vancouver. I caught the 804 to downtown. The early service started at 9 o'clock. I shared the back with a liquor-scented man in sunglasses, who muttered to himself, cleared his throat, and scowled. At Maple Street, a pack of young women filled the bus with the smell of shampoo and coffee. Over the Granville Bridge, the sun broke the overcast, shining in beams on a half dozen identical condo buildings and the evergreens in Stanley Park. Even the half-drunk grinned. Between Drake and Davey, the city was waking. Signs for diners and porn stores shone open. So that's that. I'll read two more. Alright. This one's about coyotes. I like coyotes a lot. A pack of handsome coyotes met just after dusk under a fallen fir near the edge of the arboretum to discuss why you never called back and what this could mean. They cleaned their bushy, bushy tails, asked each other for assurance that their tails were attractive. Why didn't you call back? It was probably that thing they said last Saturday about women's basketball. They were just trying to be funny, and they were nervous. But they do respect women's athletics. Together, they let a muffled howl drift over the horizon, hoping you'd hear it and recognize it as an apology. They meant no offense. The distraught canines wondered, what more could they do? A poem? Feats of strength? Maybe if they lost a few pounds, or ate your ex-boyfriend's cat? They sat with these questions, occasionally letting a melancholic whimper escape from under their breath. The tree's countenance became downcast as they eavesdropped around the perimeter of the coyote hoot. Coyotes can reach levels of lonesomeness unimagined by the rest of the animal kingdom. The tallest one stumbled on a conclusion he found convincing. They must wear ties. No woman has ever ignored a coyote wearing a tie. This will be my last one. This one is for Ryan Johnson. The clouds hung low on glaciated peaks crumbling into deep valleys. The sun came through in patches. It was all very pleasant for the most part, but I was told there would be mountain goats, lots of them, hanging from every precipice, dancing precarious, bleeding anthems from every cliff in this park. I had driven a long way. With steep drop-offs, narrow lanes, and no guardrails, my stomach had turned quite queasy. I had swallowed my fear and needed no breath mint. But I was promised mountain goats. There are no mountain goats at this visitor center. Only stuffed marmots, an exhibit about global warming, and ugly children throwing snow.